Good morning. Today's Daf Yavam is Kuftas Zayin. We are in Kuftas Vavam and Beis. We are at the two dots, two-thirds of the way down in the Gemara, Yitzhak Reish Galusa, and we're going to be talking about identity. Gemara's discussion yesterday revolved around a woman coming back, and unfortunately, she's reporting that her husband died. She went away together with her husband, and on her return, she says that her husband died, and she allowed to remarry based on her own testimony that she gives. So the answer is, talui, depends. As long as the world is at peace and as long as their matrimony is at peace, so then she is going to be believed. If she can remarry, if Yibum is on the table, she could do Yibum. But if there is Ketata, if there is fighting, either the world is fighting, in other words, where they came from, it was a war zone, it was chaotic, or alternatively, they were fighting. So under those circumstances, she's not going to be believed. Now, if they're fighting, so it's kind of self-evident, meaning what she's looking to do over here is that she's looking to really ruin her marriage, meaning she knows that her husband's not dead. She came back. She said that her husband died. We know that they were fighting together. So she's looking just to ruin her marriage. Rashi, back in the Mishnah, made this point clear. If the world is fighting, so what? In other words, why can't she just simply come back and say that her husband died? What difference does it make if there's chaos in the world and they came back from a war zone? So the Gemara's answer, as we saw yesterday, is that if it's a war zone, it's chaotic, and people all around are dying, so she's gonna leap to assumptions, meaning she may not have seen the death of her husband, but everyone else is dying. You don't think my husband died as well, right? Maybe she even saw him get injured. She'll just simply assume she'll make that leap despite the fact she hasn't confirmed the death of her husband, but she'll report about the death of her husband. Okay, this is what we went over yesterday. In the course of the discussion, Eidechad b'machama. So we wanted to know, what if one witness comes back from war zone? Okay, we were describing in the Mishnah yesterday, by the way, yesterday we started the 15th parak of the Masechta. As we are now approaching the end of the Masechta, there are two more parakim to go. So we are in the penultimate parak of the Masechta. So we discussed yesterday, what if she goes and testifies? But what if Eidechad testifies? So you have one witness testifying and he's coming from war zone. So again, Eidechad normally is going to be believed. But what about if it's the Eid Echad and he's coming from a war zone? Is it going to be believed or not? So we litigated this question yesterday. Okay. And then, as a sidebar, the Gemara wants to know the Gemara asked a question regarding sesame seeds, which obviously had nothing to do with our discussion over here. The only reason why I bring that up is because in just a couple minutes from now, the Gemara is going to bring it up again. I'll tell you what, when the Gemara brings it up again, I'll take us back to the sesame seed question. Okay, so if you're following from yesterday's daf, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if not, I'm going to come back anyway. I'm going to discuss the sesame seeds. Okay, namesakes. Okay, how many people share my name? So I haven't met anyone yet who shares my name. I have a good feeling, David, that you probably met somebody who shared your name. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have a more common name than I do. Everyone wants to know if I'm related to the various sugarmans around the country, right? That name is not particularly popular, and my answer, of course, always is no. But thank you for asking. So but it's okay. Everyone likes the Jewish geography game, and I totally understand. But namesakes. So back in the day, first of all, surnames weren't a thing. I'm sure everyone here knows that. Surnames are a relatively modern phenomena, right? I can't give you a history of surnames and when did people start with surnames, but it's certainly more modern than it is historical. People were just simply known by their name and who their father was. Okay, that was a means of identification. Okay, but as you can imagine, though, right? If all you're known is by your name, so how many people are going to be sharing your name? The answer, of course, is a lot of people. So so when you come with a document and you have your name on the document, you're the lender. Why? Because my name's right here on the note. So are you actually the lender? Meaning, couldn't it be that somebody else with the same name had it? Same thing with a get. In other words, the get is the woman's holding the get, saying, "My husband divorced me." Okay, right. How do I know that the name on this get is you? All right, so it's a pretty fair question. Let's just amplify the question. Let's just broaden the question out. Do we need to be concerned that maybe somebody else in the same community shares the same name? Yes or no? So the Gemara to that is going to be discussing. And we're going to be really doing more case studies today than actual principles. We're going to try to figure out principles, but a lot of case studies today. So Kuf Tesvav Amid Beis is where we're beginning, and it's about two-thirds of the way down. It's at the two dots. Yitzchak Reish Galusa Barachte de Rabbi Behavakazam a Kurta Valaspanya Veshachiv. Okay, so Yitzchak was traveling. He was going from Cordova, maybe Cordova, I don't know. So the and he went to España. We assume España is Spain, but again, what we know nowadays is, you know, just okay. Right. Cordova's in Spain, right? Good. I went to Cordova once, not so long ago. Anyway, Shalchem Hasam, so they sent the following, and that is Yitzchak Reish Galusa Barach Tzei De Rabbi Behavakazam a Cordova L'Espanya V'Shachiv. And so they sent a letter reporting his death. Now, Micha Shin L'Trei Yitzchak Olam. Okay, so obviously, with this information and the allowance for his wife to remarry, but in other words, we're not given dental records, and the only thing that we have right now is this letter verifying the death of this man. But in other words, okay, all we have is a name. Maybe somebody else has the same name as well. So Abay Amar Chayshin, Rav Amar Lo Chayshin. So basic machlokus amarayim, whether or not this is a concern that we need to have. Abaye says, yes, we need to be concerned. Therefore, according to Abaye, just because the report is, and let's assume the reporting is good. Let's say the report is that this man is dead. Okay, but how do I know this man is the same person that we think we are talking about? Could very well be that there's somebody else with the very same name. And Rava says, no, this is not something that we need to be concerned about. I'm Rabbi Menamin Allah. So Abaye says, how do I know this? How do I know that I'm right? That we, generally speaking, need to be concerned about namesakes. Because the following get was discovered. And Bitsad Kolonia Masa Ana Andrulinai Naharda Petrit Vetrich Yasponis Entity. Okay, so the get identifies his name, Andrulinai. Okay, sounds Italian. But anyway, so he says that he divorced his wife. And now the following was sent, and that is Vishalach Le Tivdok Narda Kula. So Avud Shmuel said, I need you to do an examination. Do a check. Right? Take out the phone book. Right? I know this dates me. So take out the phone book and look through the town of Naharda and see if anyone else shares this name. And because I'm worried, I'm concerned that somebody else said that there's a namesake. And so I need to find out whether or not maybe somebody in Narda shares the name. Okay, so this is, so Abaye now is basing his position on a case law, and specifically the ruling of Avuah Deshmuah, where he said, I'm worried that somebody else has the same name. Now, V'Rava, Amar Yimisa Yibad Dekol HaOlam Yibaylei. So, and Rava will tell you, look, if you're worried about namesakes, I got to tell you. We should check the entire world. Meaning, look, you're just checking Narda. Check the entirety of Bavel. Just in other words, there should be no limits. Elamishim kvoda davu deshmohu deshalach. No, it was just in other words over there because of the honor of Avu deshmo, they did it. In other words, it was not an exhaustive search. It was just simply they wanted to do it alts covered, but there was really no need to do it. So hachiyam Rava menamin Allah. So and Rava says, now how do I know my position that we don't have to be concerned about namesakes? Tahanu trei shtari denafke b'mechuza, because consider the following: there were two loan documents that went out in mechuza v'ksibahu chavi bar nine v'nana bar chavi. Now, on the as far as the lenders are concerned, the lenders were identified in the loan documents. You know, chavi bar nine v'nana bar chavi v'agva b'hu Rava bar avua zuze. And they collected these notes. In other words, the note holders were holding these notes, and they collected these notes. Now, now, although these names currently are not popular, but back in the day, in the town of Mechuza, these are extraordinarily popular names. Everybody, okay, that's an exaggeration. Many people went around with the names of Chavi Bar Nanai and Nani Bar Chavai. And so, but yet we're not worried about namesakes. So, what we have over here is, it's kind of hard to put into terms what the machlokus is, it really is, but are we worried about namesakes or are we not worried about namesakes? And right now, the general positions of the Amoraim is that Rav is not concerned. So that means to say that if the note holder is holding a note and his name is on it, we do not need to be worried that maybe the note belonged to somebody else with the same name. So Rav is not concerned about namesakes, and Abai is concerned about namesakes. And over here, the Gemara is not giving much in terms of Svara, but the Gemara says that, look, there's a couple of case studies which would support either of the positions. Okay, so over here, let's just focus for a moment on the last case that we just went over, and that is the notes. And the note holder is holding the note, and Rav said, look, they collected these notes, and they're not worried that maybe the notes belong to somebody else. Abaye. So what Abaye will tell you is the following. That case over there, that case has no relevancy to our discussion. Lamai Nechushla. You have a lender holding a note, and the note is his name. So let me ask you a question. Let's go over the list of concerns over there. So Elon, if Elon is a Zaribay, so maybe it fell from him. And somebody else picked it up with the same name. So the Gemara says no. In other words, when you're a lender and money's owed to you, and the only means of collection is going to be that note, you're going to hold on to that note pretty tightly. And Ila Pikadun came to Shmei Kishmei Lomafki Gabe. And maybe what happened was, I don't know, maybe the note holder went away and he wanted somebody to watch it for him. And maybe he deposited it by somebody else just to hold on to it for him. To which the Gemara says, okay, again, with just assumption of a modicum of intelligence, a note holder is not going to ask somebody with the same name to hold his note for him. In other words, that would have been silly, and nobody's going to do that. So, Mayamar Doma Masalei. So the Gemara says, okay, now, what's our last concern? He didn't drop it. He didn't ask somebody with the same name to hold on to it for him for a while. So our last concern is maybe he sold the note. Okay. So in other words, it's a bond. So maybe he just sold the bond and to somebody else. And by the way, and if he did, in other words, it's a sellable item. You could transfer it over to somebody else. What would then be the concern? So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara doesn't say it, but the Gemara says, osios niknos bimisira. So the Gemara says that even if he didn't do a proper kinyan, osios niknos bimisira, meaning when you're selling a note, so the just simple transfer of the note is in fact going to represent the actual sale of the note. So in other words, even if the, what are these names? Chavi bar Nani, Nani bar Chavai. Even if they're not the note holders, but if they purchase the note, so then they have every right to collect the note, meaning they are going to be the owners of the note, even though it's not there. So Abai says, look, my general position is that I am worried about namesakes. If it happens to be that if we're talking about a note, a loan document, so that is something where there's just simply nothing to be concerned about. If it's a true owner of the note, he's not gonna let go of it. He's not gonna deposit it by somebody with the same name. And if in fact he transferred ownership of it, so he transferred ownership of it. So there's nothing to be concerned in that case over there. Okay, so where are we right now? Basic machlokes between Abai and Rav. Are we worried about namesakes? Rav says no. Abai says yes. And we went through a couple of cases where seemingly supportive of Rav, seemingly supportive of Abai. We continue. We are on Kufta Zainam at Aleph. We are four lines down. Hahu Gita Dishakech Besuruk Siv Behache. There was a get found in the town of Sura, and here was written on the get Besura Masana Anan Barchia Naharda Patrit Vetarech Poloni Intiti. Okay, standard get where this Anan Barchia whose name is written in the get. Is divorcing his wife. Now, Ubat Gurabana Misur Venar Devalohava Anan Barchia Achrina Livarmi Anan Barchia me Chigra Dahava Benarda. So, they did find another Anan Barchia. Okay, so as far as the identity of this man, so they actually discovered that there was a person with the same name. Vasu Sahade Vamar Dawuyuma Ki Ichtav Haugita. So now, on the day that the get was written, now we know that the get was written in Surah. Why? Because it says so. Meaning, go back to the wording of the get. The get was written in Surah. So, Anan Barchia Michigra Gaban Hava. So, witnesses testified that he was together with us. Meaning, the get was written in Surah. There are, in fact, two Anan Barchias. But the second Anan Barchia was not in Surah at the time. Okay, so here, where's the Rav and Abaye gonna stake their position? Where exactly are they going to subscribe to in this particular case? Again, let's remind each other. Rav is not generally worried about namesakes, and Abaye is worried, concerned about namesakes. Over here, we don't have to be concerned. We know somebody shares the exact same name. The only detail over here in this particular case is that the other Anan Bar Chiya happened to have been in another town at the time of the writing of the get. Something we need to be concerned about, yes or no? So here, Amar Abaye, Afli Didid Amin Chayshin and Hachalo Chayshin. Abaye says, look, in general, I would be concerned. Here, I'm not concerned. Daha Karmi Sahadid Deminar Dahava. Because witnesses told me that this other Anan Bar Chiya was in Arda at the time of the writing of the get. Again, we know what day the get was written. We know where the get was written. And so there was a second Anan Bar Chiya, but he was in a different town. And as a result of that, no need to be concerned that, and we know who the, we know the identity of the person named in the get.
Is so, the wife's name on the get too?
Yeah, sure.
So they have the same name.
Yeah. Okay, so my bai besura, and what would he be doing in surah? Amar Rav afli didi delo chayshinan, hacha chayshinan. So, and Rav will tell you the following. Look, generally speaking, I'm not concerned about two people with the same name. But over here, we know somebody else shares the same name. So as a concern, I'm not concerned. But over here, there's nothing to be concerned about. We know two people share the same name. And so now there needs to be clarity that this get was given by this man to this woman. And meanwhile, we don't have clarity because people are actually sharing the same name. Now, Rava, I understand over here there's a reason to be concerned, but didn't we also have witnesses who testified that on the day of the writing of the get, again, we know the get was written in Surah, so this other Anan Bar Chiya was in Naharda. So, look, you're typically not even concerned to begin with. And over here, yes, it's true, we have another person with the same name. And like Danny said, you're going to have to say that the wife also has the same name as well. So so there's another person with the same name, but that person's in a different town. And it's established that person was in a different town on the day of the writing of the get. So there should be nothing to be concerned about. So Dilma b'gamala parcha azal inami b'kfitza inami mili masar. So the Gemara says, okay, so there's a couple of possibilities that the Anan Bar Chiya, who was not in Surah at the time, but it could be that he was the man being identified in the get. A couple of things. First of all, he could be on a flying camel. Now, we call that an airplane. Now, I know that's anachronistic. I'm fully aware of the fact that, in other words, airplanes are, did not exist in the time of the writing of the Gemara. I think we all... But the point is that there's some means over here. Rashi by Kfitza, it's such an interesting Rashi. Rashi by Kfitza says that he Ayideh Shem. He used some sort of incantation in order to make it from Surah to, from Nahardah to Surah within one day. Okay, right. This is not the only time that Rashi makes a suggestion. This is not the only time the Gemara makes a suggestion that there is at least a possibility to get from Narda to Surah within one day. Okay. And finally, also, it could be that he commissioned the writing of the get. Kedamalu Rav Lasafre, Rav tells all of his scribes. V'chein amalu Rav Huna Lasafre, Rav Huna also tells all of his scribes. Ki istichu b'shilei k'suva b'shilei. Afagav demimsra emile behini, and v'chiyis nechu behini, k'siva behini, afagav demimsra emile b'shile. The Sofrim, in terms of identifying where you're writing the get, it's where you're writing the get. You were commissioned somewhere else. Okay, good, you were commissioned somewhere else. When you write the get, the name of the town that you're writing in is where you're currently in, even though the commissioning of the get was commissioned somewhere else. So, fine. Okay. So a discussion in the Gemara, let's call this the first half of today's daf, a discussion in the Gemara in terms of whether we're worried about namesakes. Rava says generally no, Abaye says generally yes, back and forth between Abaye and Rava, case studies, one case certainly supporting Abaye, one case certainly supporting Rava, and then finally on the last point, a case in which there was a role reversal. But the reason why there was a role reversal was simply because in this case over here, we knew there was somebody else sharing the exact same name. And just then a question of, we also know he happened not to have been in town on that day. Is there something to be concerned about? And here Rava took a a reverse position of his normal position, which is, yes, we should be concerned. And Abaye said just the opposite. In this particular case, we're not going to be concerned. Okay, my havi alai deshumshumi. Okay, call back to yesterday's daf. The case of the sesame seeds. Okay, let's remind each other. So what happened was, is that a simple dispute between two parties, right? So Reuven says to Shimon, remember, I deposited my sesame seeds by you and knew I'd like them back. So Shimon said, I gave them back to you. Okay, so I'm sorry you forgot, but I gave them back to you. Okay, a simple financial dispute. And what happened was, is that Reuven says to Shimon, okay, it's curious, however, as we're standing in your house, and I'm looking at my sesame seeds. Like, what are you talking about? To which Shimon says, no, this container, which did hold your sesame seeds, so I gave it all back to you. These are other sesame seeds. Oh. Okay, fine. Fine. So, okay, good. So, a simple civil dispute between two parties. So, what do we say? So, there was a debate we saw in yesterday's Gemara. Do people empty out containers? Yes or no? And oddly enough, that was a subject to a machlokas we saw in yesterday's daf. So, my havala deshum shemei. So, just wrapping up from yesterday's daf. So, Rav Yemar amar lo chayshin, Ravina amar chayshin, vehuchasa chayshina. And the Gemara's conclusion is that we are concerned that people do empty out containers and refill it with other products. Over here, it happened to have been the refill was with same product. But basically, the taina of the nifkad of the one who was entrusted to watch it, his taina is a good taina in that he said, "I did give you back the sesame seeds." And again, there was no way of identifying the actual seeds themselves. I did give them back to you. This container is holding sesame seeds. Yeah, somebody else's sesame seeds. Okay, good. Ketata beno levena. Okay, here we are now on Kuf Dezayin Amad Aleph, and we are at the bottom of the Amud. We're at the two dots, six lines from the bottom, and hechidami ketata beno levena. Okay, we said that as long as there's marital discord, so then she's not going to be believed. So what we're going to try to do, it's nearly impossible, is we're going to try to give a halachic definition to marital discord. What does marital discord look like? Okay, this. sorry for the pause. I know it allows people to, you know, to insert answer. So let's okay, so I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Omeris Labala Girshani. So the Gemara says, well, we overheard her say to the husband, "No, I'd like a divorce from you." So the Gemara gives it's a profound insight into marriages in general. Kulanami amruhachi. That's a common refrain in houses. Okay, if you listen in on conversations between a husband and wife, I don't recommend it. But if you listen in on conversations, so you're gonna hear this. This is a constant refrain, and so the to which the Gemara says that's not marital discord. That's called marriage. Okay, in other words, with its ups and downs and ebbs and flows, and it's just okay. It's just simply, that's right, that's banter, okay? And it happens. So, Ela ba'omers labala geirashtani. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so marital discord halachically is where she looks at her husband and says, "You divorced me." To which the Gemara says, "Valahemna." So the Gemara says, okay, that certainly sounds like there is tension in the marriage, more than tension in the marriage, meaning that now reaches the threshold of ketata. Okay, at which point in time now, when she comes back and she says that her husband died, so she's not going to be believed. Okay, so we now know what the threshold is, where at one point she looked at her husband, right? We're obviously getting this in retrospect, because right now her husband's gone, and she's testifying that he died. But retrospectively, somebody said that she said that to her husband, right to his face, that you divorced me. Not I'd like a divorce, but you divorced me. So the Gemara says, okay, but question. Shouldn't she be believed when she made such a claim? Right, that's something which, generally speaking, a woman would be believed over that. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, in this, yes, meaning yes, normally a woman's going to be believed. A woman does not have the degree of chutzpah, the level of chutzpah, where she's able to look her husband in the face and directly say, you divorced me unless it were true. Okay. And obviously, by the way, if she had the get supporting her claim, so just simply take out the get. Okay. Where the get currently is right now is a reasonable question. But in other words, the basic idea is that when you make such a claim, unless it were true, nobody would have that kind of chutzpah. To which the Gemara says, you're right. So what's our Mishnah's case over here? So she said that you divorced me in front of so-and-so. And we asked him, we said, we don't know what she's talking about, meaning we weren't there. Okay, so now, as far as her claim now is concerned, so it obviously takes the teeth out of her claim where she says that she identifies the witnesses and who she got a divorce with, and they're saying we don't remember. So, but at least now, so in terms of her statement, so the statement by itself does not is not going to be credible. However, we have now reached the threshold of marital discord. So that now, after this, so now when she comes back and says that her husband died, I saw my husband die, well, look, we already hit the threshold of discord, and so therefore she's not going to be believed. So my time of diktata, so the Gemara says, okay, now with marital discord, so why is she not going to be believed? Again, I know we already spoke this out in the Mishnah with Rashi. The Gemara over here is going to give two opinions. Rav Chanin Amar Mishum de Meshach, Rav Shimon Bar Ashi Mishum de Amra Bididami. So two concerns over here. One, Mishakra. There obviously is such tremendous discord and animus between husband and wife. So so what she's going to do is she's going to flat out lie. Now, what does she gain by flat out lying? So Rashi said this in the Mishnah. Rashi repeats the same point over here in today's daf, and that's the following. Look, she came back from a trip. She knows full well that her husband's alive. Okay, and she reports that her husband died. So the next thing that's going to happen is that she's going to be with another man. Okay, now when her husband comes back, so now what? So now that means to say that obviously she was discovered to have lied, but now that she was with another man, so now that is going to usher her to her former husband. Let's call him he's not the former husband, it's also the current husband as well. Meaning, right, that status has not changed. It'll usher her to her husband. It'll usher her to the man that she was with. But again, all part of a strategy because she hated her husband so much. So in other words, that's one concern. The other concern is bedami. So she'll leap to a conclusion. Meaning that she's not outright lying, but look, in other words, her husband was injured and he was near death and she had so much animus to him, she's like, okay, good. Right. In other words, I know he wasn't dead, but close enough. In other words, and she'll leap to an assumption. So the Gemara says, "My benai." Okay. So there are two proposed reasons why it is that we're not going to be believe a woman while we're at the point of marital discord and we hit the threshold of marital discord and she comes back and she says that he died and we're not going to believe her. And the Gemara just gives two reasons why we're not going to believe her. So what's the nafkamina? So ikamanai da argol hu kitata. So the Gemara says the nafkamina would be is that let's say there is marital discord, but really instigated by the husband. So when the marital discord is instigated by the husband, so the Gemara says that's going to be a practical difference. How does this actually manifest as a practical difference? So Rashi here is silent, but Tosus says, top Tosus on the Amud. In other words, she likes him. Aye, there's fighting. The fighting's coming from him, but she really likes him. So we're not worried about lying. However, but in terms of jumping to conclusions, so look, she does like him, but she saw that he was close to death. In other words, he was what she perceived as being critically injured. And you know what? I do like him, but right, he's a bit of a pain. Right? He instigates and he starts up with me often. You know what? Okay, maybe she'll make that small leap from him being nearly dead to, okay, she'll just assume that he actually died. Okay. Ibai Lahu. A question which, this is now going to be the second time we're asking this type of question in our perek, and that is as follows. A woman coming back from from a war zone is not going to be believed. So remember, yesterday's daf, we asked the question, what if Eid Echad comes back from a war zone and testifies to the death of her husband? Is he going to be believed? So here we're going to be asking a similar question. So, Eid Echad Biktata Mahu. Let's say we know that the marriage is at the halachic level of marital discord. And now he goes away, not with her, but in other words, but one witness comes back to report that he died. So are we going to believe the Eid Echad? So again, a big part of our Masechta, we discussed it extensively in the tenth parak, is that Eid Echad is Neman on this particular issue. But over here, what about in the face of marital discord? So the Gemara says it. Well, again, it depends. My time, Eid Echad Mehemen. Mishum Demelsa David Alagluy V'lo Meshaker Hachanam V'lo Meshaker. Odiyom Atayim Eid Echad Mehemen Mishum Dehi Daika Uminsava V'achikem Dis Leketata Lo Daika Uminsava Teku. And the Gemara says again, it depends. Why do we believe Eid Echad by Eidus Isha? So we've said this already numerous times, right? But the more times we get to say it, the more times we're going to remember it. So one possibility is because it's Milsa David Alagluy, people are going to discover the truth. Meaning, generally speaking, it's one witness is not enough credibility, but if this is information which is going to come out anyway, so then it's more probably true. Meaning, it's closer to credible. So this is a Milsa David Alagluye. Meaning, if the husband's not dead, we're all going to find out at a later point in time. So right now, if one witness testifies, then it's a Milsa David Alagluye, therefore it's going to be believed. That's one possibility. And the second possibility is that no. What it will do is that it will tell her, look, we have reason to believe your husband's dead, but the only way to fully confirm it is if you do an investigation. In other words, we're expecting her to do an investigation. She will do her due diligence, and then and only then will she get remarried. So over here, if this ketata, so if we have the first reason, so fine, so good, there was marital discord. That's not why we're believing the Eid Echad. We're believing the Eid Echad because Milsa David Alagluye, fine. However, if the issue is that it'll prompt her to do her due diligence, as if there's ketata, if there's marital discord, she's not going to do her due diligence, meaning she's more than happy to learn that her husband died. I was one witness, and it's not really enough information. That's enough information. I got what I need. So Rav Yehuda, remember Rav Yehuda back in the Mishnah, when are we going to believe a woman when she came back from a trip testifying that her husband died? Only if she's disheveled. In other words, if she's clearly an emotional wreck, then and only then are we going to believe her. So, l'dvarecha, pikacha tinase, shota lo tinase, elachazu vachazu tinase. So the Gemara says, come on. Right? This is the dialogue between the Chacham and Rav Yehuda. The Chacham said, Rav Yehuda, I don't understand. So if you have a woman who's sharp and really with it, so what she'll do is she'll dress up the part, right? Oh, what do I need? I need a little emotion in court? Okay, good. Right, to turn on the cameras. I'm ready. Right, I'm ready to put on a performance. And if you have a woman who is not that with it, and meanwhile her husband actually died, but whatever, she's just not an emotional person. And she comes to court and she flatly says that her husband died, according to Rav Yehuda. Now, well, I didn't see the emotion. They said the emotions can't be a barometer in terms of identifying whether they're telling the truth or not telling the truth. Come on, it's not reasonable. So he da'asila be'dima de Rabbi Yehuda, amr le safti ba'alech, karimanech, sitri mazyech, afu ashikra. So, no, I'm sorry. Let's stop it. Let's pause at mazyech. So a woman was ready to go into Rabbi Yehuda's court. And so somebody got a hold of her, and right before she went into the courtroom, and they said to her, you know what? You got to dress the part. In other words, you're going to testify that your husband died. You're going into Rabbi Yehuda's court. He needs to see emotion. He needs to see you disheveled. You need to be a wreck. Okay, so they groomed her in terms of how she needs to testify in Rav Yehuda's court. Alfu Ashikra, to which the Gemara says, well, you're basically telling her to lie. The Gemara says no. So Inuka Rabban Sviyalu Amri Tavid Hachi Keiachid Elishrei. No, whoever was advising her, they held like the Chachamim. The Chachamim feel that you don't need emotion, meaning just you're testifying, that's fine, right? And the emotion doesn't have to match the testimony. We hold like the Chachamim, but we know that you're going to go into Rav Yehuda's court. And in Rav Yehuda's court, you need to be disheveled. You need to be a wreck. So they basically told her, look, as far as we're concerned, we would have allowed you to remarry, but you're going to Rav Yehuda's court in order to seek your allowance. So you need to basically, you need to play with his rules. Okay. And It's not kriya avelus. Meaning she's torn. She's torn up over it, right? And I use that with a double entendre. Okay. Mishnah. Okay. Good. Let's run through the next sugya. Okay. We are going to believe her, right? So Beisil Amrim Lo Shamanu Ola Beva Min Akatsir Uva Osa Medina Uchamaisa Shahaya. So Beisil opens up and says that in order for her to have credibility, so it has to mimic exactly the prototypical case, the original case. Now it happened in the summertime when he came from a particular town. Okay, it has to be Chamaisa Shahaya. And Amr Lembe Shamayachas Abamina Katsavachas, Bamina Zesimachar Abamina, Batsavachas Abamina Medina La Medina, Lo Dibur Chachamim Bekasir La Bahove. So, it's true, says Beit Shammai to Beit Hillel, that the original case was in the summertime. It don't matter when it occurred. It doesn't matter where she's coming from. We're always going to believe her. Chazar Beit Hillel Lahoroska Beit Shammai, and Beit Hillel said to Beit Shammai, you're right. You're right. In other words, her credibility is not going to be limited to the case in which it mimics the original case. Okay, just as a point of interest, and someone highlighted this to me, and it's really good, right? We have a lot of machlokes in between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel throughout Shas. Almost always, Beit Shammai's position is reported before Beit Hillel, meaning every single Mishnah you're going to see Beit Shammai says this, Beit Hillel says this. Beit Shammai always comes before Beit Hillel, almost always. There are going to be those rare exceptions where Beit Hillel's position is going to be recorded before Beit Shammai's position. Okay, like here, like this Mishnah over here. Okay, this is something where I cannot tell you that this is verified. Okay, so I'm not going to totally endorse this comment, but I think it's right. And that is that on those rare occasions where Beit Hillel comes before Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel will reverse his position. Okay? If the format of the Mishnah or a Braisa is that first Beit Hillel, then Beit Shammai, so then Beit Hillel will then say to Beit Shammai, oh, you know what? You're right. Okay? So, I could think of a couple others, but unfortunately, my memory is not good enough where I remember all the cases, but it's really good. Meaning, this is a great example. Okay? Tanya Amrlan Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Devrecha Mein Li'ala Katsir Chitim Katsir Sa'or Minayin. Beit Shammai says to Beit Hillel, look, the original case was wheat harvest. So you're telling me now that if she's coming back from a barley harvest, meaning one change in one detail, and you're not going to believe her? And what about all different types of other harvests? So, and Beit Shammai says to Beit Hillel, in order for her to be believed, it doesn't have to be a perfect match to the model case. So the Gemara says, well, Beis Hillel's response is, look, if she's coming from somewhere where her claim can be verified and validated, so then obviously it will encourage her, incentivize her to tell the truth. Because she knows that anyway, it's going to be verified, and the claim that she's making, that her husband died. So, but if she's coming from somewhere where there really is no communication between here and where she came from, I don't know, maybe she won't be so scared to tell a lie. So, and as far as Beit Shammai is concerned, you're going to find communication anywhere and everywhere. Caravans are going from one location to another. In other words, if in fact she's coming from quote unquote out of town, we're gonna learn the truth eventually. And being that this is something which is verifiable, we're gonna believe her. Okay. My Maisa Shaya. So Gemara says good. The original case, which we kind of refer to again and again, what was it? So it was the end of the harvest. And 10 men went to go and harvest the wheat. The wife testified. She came, she testified about the death of her husband, and she was right. In other words, she was telling the truth. And from this episode, so then legislation. Now, again, I've said this before. I'll say it again. I don't think they passed legislation based on one case. It sounds strange, right? So probably what the case was doing was demonstrating a pattern. But again, I say this. I don't know if I'm totally correct about this, but whatever. It's an intuition on my part. You can disregard me on this point. But nevertheless, I'm just saying this because I know sometimes throughout Shas we're going to see legislation built up on one case. It seems a little bit strange. Okay, and now we're going to go through a Gemara that we went through at the end of Chagiga. Not that long ago. I say not that long ago, about 4 months ago. But okay, we went through this Gemara 4 months ago. Lo yisa adam echatas ve'efechatas v'yavirem b'yardim uvesfina. So you should not be transporting the efechatas and the mechatas on a boat over the Jordan River. V'lo yama b'tzad zev yizrok l'tzad acher. V'lo yishitam apnei amayim. V'lo yarkivem lo agabe behema v'lo agabe chavero. Elem ken hayu raglav. No ghost but karka. So what you cannot do is that you cannot ship it through the air. Now, again, I say through the air. Please understand that, right? Air travel back in the day is not like air travel back like now. Right, an obvious point. But in other words, it has to be grounded. It has to be shipped ground. Okay, I'm using modern terms to explain the Gemara, but yeah, hopefully everyone understands. Avamavirim alagesher. Now, you can go over a bridge, meaning even though you're quote-unquote in the air, but a bridge is considered like it's grounded. And Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya Omer lo Amar ala Yarden of Esfino Chemaisa Shahaya. Now, Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya said, the only restriction of transporting the Mechatas and the Efer Chatas is only over the Jordan River in a boat, meaning there is no other restriction. Okay, now, Lemer Rabbanan Damer Kebe Shamev Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya Damer Kebe Silo. And over here, when legislation is built on a case, so is the legislation have to mimic the case with every detail or no? So ostensibly, the machlokus between Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva and the Chachamim is the machlokus of our Mishnah. So I'm lecha rabban and I'm a damer afka beisala ad kan lo kamer beisala hasam ala mishum de mirsas ben makum cover of mirsas ben makum rechok lo mirsas hachi maliyar de malishar naharas. And so the Gemara says, look, we could separate the two issues. As it relates to a woman, the reason why Beis Hillel wanted approximate places because we wanted the information to be verifiable so that we know she's telling the truth. From a place that is proximate, it's verifiable. From a place that's not proximate, less verifiable. Over here, when transporting, what difference does it make how you're transporting it? Right, over the Jordan, over another body of water. What difference does it make? The Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva Amar Lachana Dami Afla Beishema Ad Kan Lo Kamer Beishamai Hasam Ela Mishum De E Daiko Mintzava Mali Makum Karv Mali Makum Rachok. And we can distinguish the cases in another way. Meaning when Beishamai says that I don't need her to be coming from approximate location. Because anyway, what we're going to expect is that a woman, in order to marry, she will do her due diligence. We're assuming she'll do her due diligence. But hachem ishum maisa shayya b'yardin v'sfina davin maisa gazer rabbanan b'shar naharos to lo hava maisa lo gazer rabbanan. But over here, the rabbinic legislation of restrictions of how to transport the mechatas, sefer chatas, is only because of one particular case. So therefore, since the legislation is built on one particular case, so therefore it's only, the restriction is only going to be when it patterns that particular case. My Maisa Shahaya, the Gemara says, no. Let's hear what happened. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Maisa Ba'adam Shahaya, Ma'avir Mechatos, Ve'efer Chatos, Be'ardin V'sfino. So one time it happened to be that one person that you were transporting Mechatos, Ve'efer Chatos, on a boat over the Jordan River, V'nimtzik Ezayin, V'nimtzik Ezayin, V'nimtzik Ezayin, and lo and behold, human remains were found in the boat. And because of that, so they made a gzera, but because the gzera is built on the case, so the gzera is only going to be limited to where its characteristics are going to be like the case. Okay, so so a couple of places today in the Amud Beis in terms of when the Chachamim legislate, and it's built on case law, so how much does it have to actually model the actual case law? Seemingly, it's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the testimony of the woman over the death of her husband. That was built on case law, and how much does it have to match the characteristic? Similarly, the case of the transportation of the mechatas, efer chatas, and the same thing over there. Do the machlokes in parallel one another? Gemara ended up saying not necessarily. Okay, Adkan takes us to the end of today's daf. Tomorrow, Mir Tzashem, we start with the Mishnah.